be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Many of you know that last week I wasn't here. Deacon Rick was here taking good care of you, and I took the train down to St. Louis, Missouri, to visit my sister. I'm so thankful for having the opportunity to spend time with her. She's my big sister. She's the firstborn of our family, so she's really good at planning and organizing and making things happen. That's the big sister job. If you have an oldest girl in your family, you know, they get things done. So we were pretty much busy all day, every day, and she had so many things planned for us to do. But the most amazing thing that we did was on Friday. We went to the Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis. It's the Roman Catholic Cathedral, and it is literally breathtaking. I gasped when I walked in. It is immense. And it's just full of this holy stillness. It's extraordinarily beautiful. Covering the domed ceiling and the walls and the pillars are these brilliantly colored scenes from the Bible everywhere, from the history of the church and the local history of the church in St. Louis, all rendered in mosaics. There's millions upon millions, 41.5 million little bitty pieces of glass and marble in 8,000 different colors that make up these pictures. 20 artists worked on the mosaics over a period of 76 years to create it, and it is amazing. It's one of the largest collections of mosaics, not only in this country, but in the entire world. And in the basement, there's a museum that shows the process involved in creating these beautiful mosaics. It has all kinds of technical details, but every mosaic begins with a simple watercolor sketch. And to make the sketch, since there weren't any photographs, no snapshots of Elijah or Jesus or Peter or John or Mary, every artist first had to form a picture in his mind of how that saint should look. Jesus and the angels and the prophets and those great saints of the faith, how should they portray them? And what they came up with is just stunning images of incredible beauty and glorious color, powerful images of angels and prophets 140 feet above your head, and images of the saints surrounding you on all sides, and it's all rich in symbolism, and it's all designed to inspire awe and worship in anybody that enters. And today's a feast of All Saints, as I said at the beginning. It's the day when we remember with thankfulness, and sometimes with a little sadness too, the saints who have touched our lives in a personal way. We remember with thankfulness because the people whose names that we're going to read out today at the Eucharist, and we offer them up in thanks, Our mothers and our fathers and our good friends and our family members, those are the people that God has used to care for us and to comfort us and to show us the way throughout our whole lives. But also sadness, too, because many of the people, probably most of the people we remember today, are people who have gone on before us to be with God, and we miss them. My sister and I, when we were at the cathedral, we lit a candle in our mother's memory, because even though she's been gone 10 years now, we still miss her every day. But I think that I can safely assume that none of these special saints that we remember today are much like those glorious images in the cathedral basilica, filling us with holy fear and leaving us breathless with their power and beauty. As wonderful as those images are, real flesh and blood saints aren't very much like that, really. And if we want to know what a saint looks like, what a saint is supposed to look like, we'll do much better if we listen to what Jesus had to say today when he sat down on the mountain and began to teach, beginning with this list of beatitudes, those blesseds that we read this morning. They don't sound a whole lot like the descriptions of the famous saints in the cathedral mosaics, but if you think about the saints that you are bringing in offering today, as we go through the Beatitudes of Jesus, I think you'll recognize them. I think maybe you'll understand a little better what it was about them that made them such a blessing to you. And Jesus began right up front with poverty. Maybe that's not the first thing you'd think of. Blessed are the poor in spirit. When Luke quotes this speech, Jesus, or this sermon, he quotes Jesus as just saying, blessed are the poor. The first rule of sainthood is when a person knows absolutely, I am not God. I don't have all the answers. I can't fix what's wrong. A saint isn't out to impress or compete with or outdo anybody. Many saints are very impressive people, but they would be the last person on earth to admit that. Blessed, happy are those who know their own poverty. On the cathedral ceiling, all the faces of the great saints seem to just glow with this kind of fierce joy. But the second mark of a saint, according to Jesus, is sorrow. Blessed are those who mourn, he said. It almost seems to make no sense if you translate it happy instead of blessed. Happy are those who are sad. You could say it that way. But a saint, Jesus says, is one who sees the pain of other people and weeps along with them. Because how does it show the love of God to the world if they see Christians with clean suits and shiny, happy smiles, while all around them children are going hungry, or men and women are living in poverty, or families are devastated by cancer? Any saint worth their salt weeps as Jesus wept at the grave of his friend. And as we remember those saints with whom God has blessed you in your own life, remember the precious tears they shed with you and for you. Mothers don't usually let you see them crying, but you know that they wept for you. The third mark of sainthood is even less impressive than sorrow, I think, by the world standards. Blessed are the meek, Jesus said. And when people hear the word meek, they think of wimpy people, people who are doormats, timid souls who are afraid to stand up for themselves. That's not what the word means at all. It means gentle. It means humble. It means considerate. Like Jesus when he took the little children in his arms and blessed them. Like Pope Francis when we saw him kneel to kiss the feet of refugees and of prisoners. Like the saints that you remember today that are in your hearts, who thought of your needs and the needs of others before their own. Blessed indeed are the meek. The fourth mark of sainthood is ravenous appetite for good. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I think this can look different in different people. I have known people who have such a great gift for seeing what is good and right, that they just seem to find it everywhere they go. We had a very good friend when we lived in St. Louis long ago who had that gift. And I remember he would often visit our house when it was an absolute and total wreck. Because many of you know we have a lot of kids. Our zillion kids were running all over, and he always saw something good. He didn't notice the noise or the dirty dishes in the sink. He just saw joy, or he saw creativity, or he saw love. He was being honest. He wasn't just putting on and trying to make us feel good. It was that he was tuned into goodness, just like a chocolate lover is tuned into the scent of chocolate. He hungered and thirsted after all that was good, and he found it. And because he found it, he made it visible to everybody around him. That is a mark of sainthood. But other people I've known hunger and thirst for righteousness in a different way. They are so grieved by the unrighteousness in the world around them. They spend their lives pursuing real righteousness, like a dying man seeking water in the desert. I think that Martin Luther King Jr. was a man like that, a seeker after righteousness. And sometimes these saints who hunger and thirst after righteousness can even be a little hard to live with because they're so passionate, so unsatisfied in their seeking. But it's that passion that makes them lights in the darkness of this world. Blessed and desperately needed are those saints. The fifth mark of sainthood is mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Mercy chooses not to pass judgment. Mercy doesn't just cry out for justice to be done. It reaches out with forgiveness. It offers new beginnings. When we saw the families of the shooting victims in Charleston forgive Bill and Ruth in jail, they were merciful. They spoke in with kindness. Mercy doesn't look particularly strong or righteous or impressive to the world. It often disguises mercy. It's much more familiar, much more comfortable with payback, because that feels like justice. But blessed are those who know that condemnation and vengeance only do harm. Blessed are those who know that mercy has the power to heal. The sixth mark of sainthood is purity of heart. That's a little harder to define, I think, but we can see all around us every day what is not purity of heart. Life on the world's terms can sometimes look an awful lot like trying to ride a bicycle while juggling knives. So many people to keep happy, so many systems to keep track of, so many dangers to watch out for, so many appetites to satisfy. But Jesus told us only one thing is necessary. Purity of heart is that simplicity that comes of knowing who you are and of following that one principle of love, love of God, love of your neighbor. Saints' lives are never easy, never. They're never pain-free, but they are simple. When I was thinking about this particular mark of sainthood, the person I thought of was Aleo. When I first knew him, he already knew the terrible loss that he was facing, but he kept his eyes on Jesus. He kept loving as long as he had power to choose love. And Jesus promises Al will see and recognize the face of God along with all the saints. Blessed are all the single-hearted saints. And then the last mark of sainthood is being a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, knowing how badly the world is in need of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and his saints are peacemakers because they're like him. We make peace by listening to people who are hurt, by being models of peace, by seeking opportunities for reconciliation. And there are peacemakers on a global scale. But I was reminded of this wonderful teacher that Victoria had in the first grade who just loved and understood her little students so well. And there was an episode when one student was being unkind to a smaller student in the class. And this teacher arranged for the littler student to tutor the bigger student in some subject she was having trouble with, and it worked. It worked beautifully. Gradually they started to get along. Gradually they started to be friends. That teacher was a peacemaker in a little way, but a real way. She was one who had wisdom and kindness and patience. Blessed are all the people who have brought peace into your life and into the lives of others. And of course, that's not really the last mark, because Jesus goes on to say that the blessed life of a saint is no bed of roses. Those great saints whose glorious, joyful images are pictured in those beautiful mosaics in the cathedral, many of those were murdered for their faith. Many were imprisoned. Many of them, all of them, faced hardship and mortality in this world. Our kind friend, who had that gift for seeing good, suffered for years with loneliness and depression. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Pope Francis faces opposition from the church for being too merciful. The families and friends of the shooting victims in Charleston live every day with the loss of their loved ones. Our brother Al lies in bed every day, not able to recognize the faces of the people that come to see him. The life of a saint is hard. I know that every one of the names that I will read today, when you send them up to me, is a saint who has suffered hardships in so many different ways. They worked hard. They suffered terrible losses in their lives. They struggled with injustices and cruelty and weaknesses, suffering from the inside of all kinds. When in Revelation, what Ellen read today, when it says they've gone through the tribulation, that doesn't need some kind of a weird theological explanation. The tribulation is life in this world. It comes with the territory of being a stranger in this strange land. And yet Jesus says they are blessed because they're following the way of the prophets who came before them. They are following that way that leads to life. Found it. And today we remember and give thanks that God blessed us through them as they walked before us, as they showed us the way. Not perfectly. None of them are perfect. Not impressively, maybe, probably not gloriously, but faithfully, lovingly, by the grace of God. Amen. Amen.